we find that each one gives us new opportunities from which to grow our business careers.
Hello, construction industry professionals. You're listening to The Art of Construction, specifically designed for contractors and architects to help grow your business. Here are your hosts, Devin and Kevin.
Well, we don't need a lot of lead up locally for this one, Kevin, because we are truly going to have the legend in the studio, AOC, Robert August.
Yeah, Robert has been not only a leader, but really kind of a legend in the building arena here in the state of Colorado, and quite frankly, across the United States with respect to the Home Builders Association involvement and many other aspects. So a lot of us know him very well here and anxious to hear all of his background and information on trends that he's seeing in the marketplace and new developments that he's seeing out there as well. So
if we're going to create a legacy on the art of construction, we better have one of the local legends, Robert August, in this studio, AOC, who's lived it, breathed it, and man, he has the passion. So let's dive in and have a chat with Robert.
Here we go.
What's your favorite beverage?
Yes, sir. My favorite beverage is water.
We get a lot of that here in the healthy state of Colorado.
Yes, that is a very, very important product from which we can derive life.
All right. Tell us about the favorite place you've traveled.
Throughout the years, every place that I've traveled is really my favorite. I study every area that I've worked or played in throughout the United States, and as well as some of the areas abroad. But wherever I'm at, I'm having a really good time and enjoying life.
So tell us your favorite hobby or interest outside of the construction arena.
I enjoy reading, walking. I enjoy meeting people, socializing, getting to understand our country and what makes it tick.
Well, we are honored to have Robert August in the studio AOC, and he truly is a legend, not only as what we say here in Denver, the legend Robert August, but is truly the legend in HBA's eyes, as over 7.5 million entrances, Robert August was given the Legend Award. Tell us about that honor and your company, North Star Synergies.
The National Sales and Marketing Council, the National Association of Home Builders, has honored for a number of years an award called the Legend. And the Legend is an individual who has contributed a tremendous amount to the industry. Both the Trade Association of the National Association of Home Builders, the state associations, and many of the locals throughout the United States. There are 700 locals, there are 50 state and one National Association of Home Builders that's also an international body of global corporations spanning 199 countries. This year, I was very fortunate to be named the Legend of the Year.
All right. Congratulations.
Thank you very, very much. It's a great honor and a tribute to a great career, and especially the team that we've created over the many, many years of our business practice since 1983.
So to paint the picture for our global listening audience, Robert August, everybody knows that name. Robert in his bow tie is at every HBA event, and he knows everybody. Tell us your secret and your marketing, and tell the audience about North Star Synergies and how you've built this over many years of really being a legend in the construction arena.
Thank you. Throughout the years, the biggest tip that I can share with you is taking a moment to meet individuals, care about their needs, and point them in the right direction. At the same time, I've learned to build a huge network of talented resources from which I can draw upon for any aspect of the industry, whether it be through residential, retail, commercial, industrial, government, institutions, recreation, and resort real estate.
Very nice. Tell us a little bit about the projects that you work on from kind of a master plan standpoint, where you're working at the very early stages all the way to the finish, where people are enjoying and using the finished product of the development.
Our practice is a little bit different in that we're a marketing, management, and sales consultation firm. We look at each company that we work with, and it spans across developers, home builders, general contractors, architects, land planners, engineers, manufacturers, vendors, real estate brokerage companies, title companies, banks, and mortgage companies, to name a few. As a result of combining our efforts in working with these various companies, we're often able to forge relationships that help us to deliver master plan communities to the builder slash development community, from which we can harvest a tremendous amount of opportunity, whether it's a 2-acre community or, frankly, it's 5,000 or 10,000 acres. And throughout the years, we have been involved with literally more than 50,000 homes, more than 100,000 acres of finished properties. And the ability to combine our efforts with the outstanding players that I mentioned, it has rewarded us with a job well done. Another thing that's a little bit unique about what we do, yes, we often work out of our contract, if you will. We complete our work and move on and work ourselves out of business. Yet at the same time, a number of the neighborhoods, communities, master plan environments that we've helped to create have had our services for as long as 11 years from start to finish. And that's another hallmark of our company, is that when given the opportunity, we complete what we start.
Excellent. So basically, it's kind of like a sister company in Colorado for the art of construction. You guys, you know, it's very simple. The premise of this podcast is for contractors and architects to grow their business. When you talk about sales and marketing, that's what it's all about, is to grow your business. So I'd love for you to kind of talk through the process with North Star Synergies, to where you guys, correct me if I'm wrong, really focus on establishing the raw land, get that entitled to the finished project, and in the show notes, and tell us about some of the elite projects that you've done.
That's a very, very good point. And I'd like to share that when we're really, really fortunate to come in and be part of the initial team, that's when we can deliver a tremendous return on investment for a developer. We're extremely knowledgeable about working with land planners and landscape architects and engineers to go through the entitlement process in order to bring a designated raw parcel of land through the process. Our expertise is more of a marketing and sales perspective in working with the team and helping them to understand the pitfalls in the marketplace and what needs to be directed in all the expertise of these outstanding firms. Most of them are not what you would call market-driven. They're more product-driven. And they look at the land and they try to create what they prefer to call as a best use. We add the marketing mix, and a tremendous amount of research takes place at the very, very beginning. And when given the opportunity, we like to direct, steer, coach the team, you know, in such a way that they can understand the real best use for the property, from which they can enjoy a better return on investment for the developer and also for the home builders and builders as they take part in the future of the land plan. Our goal is to participate on the team and then help through the entitlement process, then work through the financial side in order to obtain the best acquisition and develop and construction financing in order to arrange the best infrastructure team to come in and work through the management team to create the aesthetics within the community itself.
Excellent. We're always talking about on the art of construction to get it all right on paper and kind of begin with the end in mind, but you also have to have the right front-end sales and marketing process so that when it is gets to the finish line, it's a product people want, right?
Well, without question, and what most developers do not understand is that the vicissitude of the marketplace changes and you have to be ready to move on a dime. For example, you might think that there's a tremendous demand in one product segment or price point, and unfortunately, that can change very quickly. And therefore, the size of the sites that you deliver within the community have to be an ongoing concern so that you meet the need of the marketplace, rather than try to force a product into the community.
Well, one of the other things that takes place, Robert, correct me if I'm wrong, is not only do you have that to consider, but when you have a big master plan, you also have a lot of other people that are involved on the political side, whether it be the county, the city, maybe even the state, the region sometimes want to be stakeholders in this or are stakeholders and have decision-making capabilities and requirements and that kind of thing. So not only do you have to meet the free market demand, but you also have to meet the demands of the municipalities and all those involved. So talk a little bit about how you work through that, because that's a painstaking, frustrating, time-consuming process.
I think that's a very, very good concern. And frankly, if anyone were ever to ask me, what is my biggest concern in the industry? It's when the development community, the building and development community, gets together and complains about the jurisdiction, whether it's a city, a county, a state, with regard to economic development or the quality of growth. Most individuals take offense at the consumers who volunteer their time on the various planning and development councils. And my concern is that our industry does not do enough to plant the right seeds and the right people who work for the development and building community to participate on the planning councils and development councils and planning commissions in order to educate these individuals about our industry. And so that instead of being against or opposite, we could be in there working in tandem with these people and educating them so that we can exercise a faster completion of entitlement in order to deliver a product sooner to waiting customers who are anxious to obtain a new residence or a new lease on life, if you will, with a new retail center or a new institution.
Well said. The proof is in the pudding. And North Star Synergies, led by Robert August, if you're in the Colorado area, they've done, you know, areas like the Preserve, which is very luxury, Cherry Hills, Castle Pine, done work in the Broadmoor and Mountain Shadows areas down in the Colorado Springs area. So they've definitely done these master plan communities from the beginning to the end. And these are truly some of the statement areas if you're in Colorado. My question to you, I'd love for you to peel back some of the layers. A lot of these really nice areas you've talked about are much more on the traditional side with kind of spacing, planning, and a lot more than these modern designs where a lot of developers are about currently is smash as much square footage in the modern design as you can. I'd love for you to give us give the listening audience your take on that kind of the new trend as you see it and people, how you're working through that modern design infrastructure.
That's another really good question, because lifestyle environments are extremely important to consider. And whether you're dealing with a small home site or a large one, it really is about creating an environment that's paying attention to sustainability, that's paying attention to an opportunity create a neighborhood that is so pleasing. And again, it really doesn't matter the size of the home. You have to envision the landscaping and creating what I would call the appropriate cosmetic surgery to the land with the right landscaping plan. The landscape architecture really sets the tone for a neighborhood. And while we're addressing the industry today, rather than the consumer public, I would share with every listener to take a moment and surround yourself with excellent land planners and landscape architects and engineers in the very, very beginning. And as soon as you can conclude the entitlement process and begin the infrastructure, I would also encourage every listener to begin installing landscaping as soon as possible. Not waiting until the first school is built or the first amenity is delivered or the first residence. It's more important to have that landscaping looking absolutely perfect from the get-go. It's an outdoor billboard that will show the consumer and the business publics alike that the developer is for real, that the developer cares about the community. so that when someone does take possession of an office building or a new residence, someone's driving into a neighborhood that is aesthetically pleasing as possibly can be. And when you have the right landscaping in place, you can really direct the eye away from, as you might have referred to it, away from the smallness and the largesse of the building on a site to a very aesthetically pleasing campus.
You know, that makes me think, Robert, back in my building days when I was in Nevada and looking at some of the master plan communities that Del Webb used to build through their Sun City retirement communities, that was the first thing that they did. They built the infrastructure, they built all the landscape and everything to create a Disneyland experience so that as they began selling the project, the buy-in was phenomenal.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. I mean, that's been one of our mantras since I got involved in this industry approximately 45 years ago. Regardless of the neighborhood, whether it was Allentown, Pennsylvania, or Scranton, Pennsylvania, certainly throughout Colorado and the United States, the landscaping ability has afforded me the opportunity to really reduce my advertising, public relations, and promotional expenses because I'm able to attract quality traffic right away and make a difference. And you spoke about the Disney experience. We enjoyed the Disney experience ourselves in helping to create Celebration, a 5,000-acre master plan community in the heart of Disney World, where we actually prepared the policy and procedure manual for the Disney team.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, it really does make a difference because obviously you talk about, and everybody understands, or at least in this business, everybody understands the idea that real estate is community, is neighborhood, et cetera. However, when people are developing, a lot of times they want the money to come in before they're spending it. And the reality is when it comes to those marquee billboard experiences, like you described, the entryway, all those kinds of things, when it's done, people understand what they're buying into. And if they don't, they're not going to buy.
Well, in addition to that, the landscaping becomes a very calming psychological positioning statement, if you will. What it does is it relaxes the buyer to the point where the buyer says to himself or herself or together, gee, you know, this is a neighborhood where the developer has taken responsibility up front. You and I both know that most developers do not make a statement like this. And certainly here in Colorado, we had the good fortune of working with companies like P&O, and which is now Shea Properties, and another outstanding company in Coble and Company that addressed the same landscaping requests that we had, you know, in order to facilitate the aesthetic appeal within the neighborhoods that we had the opportunity with which to work. And it just really makes a huge difference. And I can also go back to 1978 when I helped found the Ranch Development in Westminster. That tremendous country feel with the whiteboard fence as you drove the mile before you came to our sales center was just a remarkable experience to witness the open space against the Rocky Mountain High environment.
That's so well said. And it's the old verbiage is you got to spend money to make money, but what money do you spend and at what time? I find that so intriguing when you're really a legend in the sales and marketing arena to talk through and understand beginning with the end in mind and how to do that, make the billboard be the landscape instead of pay to have a commercial or a billboard, quote unquote.
Well, I think it's not only important to do that, but it's also taking the time to educate the team from which we spoke about earlier. And what it does is give you the opportunity to raise the awareness for everyone so that they understand that we're all on a mission to create the most aesthetically pleasing neighborhood and at the same time to work with the builders to enhance their product development so each product that we deliver provides us excellence through water conservation, sustainability, built green, energy efficiency, indoor air quality, universal design, and healthy home environments or healthy building environments.
And everything you mentioned there, a great platform to learn and really facilitate that is through the HBA. And we're honored to be sponsors at the local chapter with the CBRC, the Custom Builder Remodel Council. And I'm newer to the HBA, but we sponsor both in my day-to-day life for both my Denver and Grand Junction locations with the Parade of Homes and all those kinds of things. And you really got to give and you will get. I want to put you on a pedestal as kind of the leader in the nationally with HBA. Peel back some layers and talk to the listening audience all around the globe about the Home Builders Association and what encompasses under that.
Well, I would share with you that the Home Builders Association is comprised of approximately 700 locals throughout the United States, 50 state associations, and one national and international headquarters, which the national and international headquarters is in Washington, D.C. We have over 7.5 million employees related to almost 150,000 companies nationwide and globally that participate daily in delivering excellent product. Also, as you gentlemen know, our builders, many of which are residential in nature, also span into commercial, light industrial, retail, recreational, resort, government development as well. Your window and door company, for example, you sell across the board to everyone. And our association at the local level is comprised of a series of approximately one-third builders, developers, and remodelers, and the balance is comprised of associate members who really spread the gamut of the industry. It takes approximately 70 different companies to build one home with all the different products and services. The average home has over 300,000 products and services integrated into each home. And the association spends a tremendous amount of time educating our employee base about safety and security requirements, about product development, about construction management, sales, marketing, and a host of other wonderful, wonderful programs, including networking opportunities like the Parade of Homes, product expositions, and so much, much more. The biggest program that I can share with you, or the most important that is probably unnoticed or goes without a lot of notoriety, is the Government Affairs Department, because that group and that team spends a tremendous amount of time helping to bring water and sewer to the communities, helping with entitlement issues, helping to create quality growth in markets which are often challenged by so many people who would like to forestall growth. So we do a lot of different things through the trade association to enhance knowledge, the labor base, and also the product development throughout the local environment, the region, and also the country and the globe.
Robert, with your great breadth of experience over time, do you see any new trends happening now that are different from the past, or is it pretty much business as usual? What kinds of things are you seeing that may be different than historical trends out there in the building industry?
That's a great, great question, because a lot of us who've been around the block for a while realize that we go through a series of cycles. Each new downturn creates an upturn. And having experienced 7 recessions, if you will, they are not pleasant times at all. But we find that each one gives us new opportunities from which to grow our business careers. And this past recession was the most severe that I experienced in my career. And I would share with you that some of the new trends that we're looking at definitely revolve around continuation of energy efficiency and water conservation. Those costs continue to rise at the spigot, if you will, for each homeowner, for each business. And it's going to be critically important for us to conserve our water and our energy and resources as we develop new real estate and build new real estate today and tomorrow. We're also witnessing a tremendous focus on healthy home environments. And we were fortunate in our own backyard to have an organization, which maybe sometime you'll be able to share with your audience, called Invisible Disabilities. Approximately 13% of our population is living with toxic and chemical deficiency in relationship to deterioration of their immune deficiency diseases and performance. And by knowing how to eliminate certain products and services from real estate, healthier environments can be created. So that's invisibledisabilities.org. Presently, they are educating almost 175,000 people throughout the globe, headquartered here in Denver. Another group that we're working with is called Wellness Within Your Walls, and that is wellnesswithinyourwalls.com. This group emerged in Atlanta and works worldwide as well. Their educational protocols are already accepted and being used in the United Kingdom, France, Portugal, Ireland, New Zealand, and now the United States. By understanding how to deliver excellent product to the consumer public, both from a general consumer all the way up to certainly a business development aspect, we're able to further provide a better quality of lifestyle and environment. We're seeing these changes. We're also seeing smaller homes, but filled with more luxury items. Of course, we're living in a time where most consumers do not understand a 10% mortgage, let alone a 16% mortgage, which I, if you will, forced to use many years ago in selling real estate. We're at an all-time low. And frankly, we're seeing another trend where most people who've weathered the storm of the recession and have gotten back on their feet are taking care of their credit issues and getting ready to re-enter the home buying sphere, if you will, the home buying environment, as they've saved money, as they're getting ready to buy their first home, be it a condominium, townhome, duplex, single family home, in order to get back into the marketplace. We're also seeing a lot of other new products coming of age with regard to roofing materials, a series of solar energy materials, and wonderful, wonderful new products for flooring and walls, interior-wise, better appliances. I mean, you can now enjoy a Samsung refrigerator that will afford you the opportunity to go to the shopping to your favorite store, whether it's a King Soopers or a Safeway. And gee, if you forgot something, there's a camera inside the Samsung refrigerator that you can actually look and see what's missing in your refrigerator so that you can put it into your cart from the shelves at King Soopers. So there in the forthcoming parade of homes, we're actually working on the new parade of homes in conjunction with a series of builders for the Metro Denver Home Builders Association parade, which will be forthcoming August 10th through September 4th. And I would encourage your listeners to get involved with their builders and introduce some of the state-of-the-art products that are coming off the line, whether it be for windows, doors, appliances, flooring, whether it's carpet, hardwood floors, so much of the new tile that we're seeing and had the opportunity to witness at the International Builders Show this past January in Orlando.
Well, that is a plethora of knowledge, and I love to – your spirit and your enthusiasm is just – I just sit back and smile. You say, I've been doing this for 45 years, and it's like you're still a kid in a candy store talking about a camera inside a refrigerator. And I just think that's so cool. What I'd love to hear your take on millennials. And I'm hearing a lot of – I've been going to a lot of different economic forecasts, and as being a new up-and-coming business owner in the podcast, and – you know, they're the largest generation coming into buying houses, where you can talked about the first time home buyer and smaller square footage and spending more money on gadgets, but not understanding interest rates and all those kinds of things. What's your take on that whole thing?
Well, you know, it's a double take. We've had a very, very interesting 10 years. And when you reflect upon the sociological change, the socioeconomic considerations at hand, it's not just the millennials, it's the boomers. It's not just the boomers, it's all of the generations refocusing and coming together. We now have a throwback, gentlemen, that takes us to 1930, when three and four generations were living in a home in the United States. And what's happened with the millennials is that they're a younger group. that boomerang back into the home, into their parents' home. And we also have a dynamic situation where the parents or the grandparents of the millennials actually boomerang back into the homes as well through these socioeconomic changes that we've all experienced. So when we speak about culture and markets, it's very, very, very interesting. Let's look at the millennial program as you've requested. The folks, you know, in this category range from the mid-20s, if you will, to 40 years of age. The oldest millennial is now 40 years old. And many of these folks have not had families yet. Some of them have. They're very, very interested in so many different aspects of life. Yet when we start to think about home buying is now becoming a major issue with the millennial. And when we look at their specific needs, it's very, very interesting that many of them are similar to a lot of the active adults and seniors that we're providing services for. They're very, very astute. They shop online. We know that more than 95% of everyone who looks for a new home, whether it's a millennial or a senior citizen, if you will, goes online to study the different floor plans, the standard features, the options, before ever going out and starting to see, smell, feel, touch a new home. I think that, you know, people are people. And when we talk about the millennials, they want to be proven. They're not interested in being just sold. They're interested in being demonstrated. They're interested in being educated. They're interested in understanding better products and services that are green built, that are sustainable, that will help them enjoy a better comfort. And when we spoke earlier about wellness within your walls and invisible disabilities, these are programs that they're in hand, they're looking at, because they're also looking at the home as a long-term investment, if you will, than just an investment in shelter. And I think what's also important to note as a codicil is that you have to be in a situation where when you look at housing today, you also look at universal design, because so many people are living longer in homes than we have in the past, knowing that one out of every four people living in this country have a universal design challenge, whether it's a younger person or an older person. So as a result, these are things that we're looking at and also starting to understand how to integrate into the design and to the delivery of every aspect of our real estate construction management.
Talk a little bit more about what you mean by universal design, because we've heard this concept before and that it is something to really focus on, but give a little bit for those listeners that may not quite be up on what that means. Give us a little bit of a definition or kind of a boundary of what that looks like.
Great question. Universal design really relates to accessibility throughout a home, an office building, or even a school. It gives us the opportunity, for example, to experience wider hallways in a home, levers for door handles rather than the pulls that we've had in the past. We would also have appliances that have the knobs up front so that they can be regulated rather than reaching across burners, or using a washer and dryer that is not top-loaded but front-loaded, using a lot of different apparatus throughout the home, especially within the kitchen cabinetry area, that gives us the opportunity for easy access to storage and food preparation and the ease of comfort to enjoy one's meal. I think that if you take a moment to have the listeners make a note of the Universal Design Living Laboratory, which we helped create in Columbus, Ohio. This is an amazing story, an amazing home, where a young lady called the National Association of Home Builders after having a tree collapse on her while she was riding a bike adjacent to a canal. She lost 4 inches in her spine, was serviced, treated at the Ohio State Medical Center for spinal cord injury. Having lost the 4 inches in her spine, she was relatively immobile and eventually got some mobility back and contacted the National Association of Home Builders so that the organization could conceivably help her build a home. That's not what they do. They're more of an advocacy group. I had the good fortune of being referred to this individual and helped create what I dubbed as the Universal Design Living Laboratory. And you can go online to udll.com or .org and learn all the attributes that you need to build into a home in order to have it deemed a universal design home. So it affects every living area, every room within a home or an office or a warehouse for that matter, or a school, all of the terms, the glossary of terms, et cetera. The principals, Rosemary Rossetti and Mark Lader, husband and wife, have even created a toolkit to teach individuals or corporations how to integrate universal design into their home. And you can learn more, again, about universal design at udll.com or .org.
Great. That's real helpful, because one of the things we've heard a lot from others is that millennials really are considering the whole idea of having a home that they're able to grow into. And one of the considerations as time goes on is some of these types of things at any age, for that matter. It's not just an older age. It can happen at any point when some major life event like that happens and all of a sudden you have to rearrange your living structure. Thinking about it in advance and incorporating that up front can not only save money, but can have an end result that's going to be a lot more universal, as you described. So that's interesting input.
Thank you.
Well, Robert, I just really want to thank you for all you've done for the construction arena, and hopefully the listening audience got to hear just a taste of the amazing knowledge up inside of Robert Augustin. Hopefully after I'm doing this for 45 years, I know half of what you know after all this stuff.
That's our goal, Robert.
you're both very, very kind. I would share with you that as we all grow together, I'd be happy to come back and explain to the audience how to create a promotional homes like the Universal Design Living Laboratory, or the first one that I completed in 1981 with the Department of Energy of our United States of America government, in which for the federal government, we actually had 10 homes here that I was able to round up in Metro Denver that were passive and active solar introductory homes into the marketplace in every price range. We had a tour here coordinated with the Solar Energy Research Institute, which has become the National Research Energy Laboratory. And in concert with them, we had over 125,000 people come out to learn about energy and water conservation. And since then, we've helped to create the Parade of Homes here in Denver. Our company was retained to create the first Parade of Homes in 1986, from which we began developing a tremendous amount of interest and a lot of traffic so that we could teach consumers and industry professionals alike to learn about how to steal a few bright ideas from new construction, so that buildings, office buildings, schools, homes, any facility could be enhanced as a result of taking the time to go out to these neighborhoods and learn about the state-of-the-art products and services that are being offered yesterday and now today. Gentlemen, I thank you very, very much for affording me the opportunity to be with you and to share some of my abilities that I've been able to work with and throughout this outstanding industry. Thank you very much.
Excellent. So we always ask, if there's one thing as a learning organization here on the Art of Construction, if there's one thing for contractors and architects to grow their business and take to the bank of success, what is that one thing, Robert?
Keep asking for referrals. Never stop. As soon as you meet an individual, you're earning the right to ask for referrals. So, gentlemen, whom else can you refer me to today?
Well, as a referral, who would you refer to have the next guest on the Art of Construction if I got to practice what I preach?
I would refer to you to have Jillian Pritchard Cook, an outstanding interior designer who's been presiding over her own company for more than 30 years as the president of Design, DES-SYN, who also is the founder of Wellness Within Your Walls.
We even got a taste of the Robert August has the encyclopedia. It's all right there. The ultimate referral. What a great way to say that one thing and tie it all back together. Thanks for taking the time today and helping everybody grow their business, Robert.
Appreciate it. Thanks. Thank you, Robert.
Really appreciate the opportunity. Enjoy Jillian. She's phenomenal, very energetic, very, very bright. And thanks so much for the opportunity to work with you today.
Thanks, Robert.
All right. Bye-bye, bud.
Have a great day.
Hey, Tribe. I'm Devin Tilley, one of the hosts of the Art of Construction podcast, a podcast specifically designed to help you contractors and architects grow your business by explaining the awesome world of construction. After teaching an audience that has grown to over 40,000 people, it's time to expand, baby, so let's add video to the platform. Each Monday, we will be bringing you a new video on some of our favorite projects and telling you all about the art of construction process. Make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel today so you don't miss any of it. Come on over and have a fireside chat at theartofconstruction.net and be part of the tribe. See you next week on The Art of Construction. Well, I think we may need to have Robert into Studio AOC again, because talk about taglines of things our contractors and architects, I assume, want to know. And if so, reach out to us on the message board and say, hey, that was a great show. I'd love to have him back in and talk about promotional homes or parade of homes, where he definitely is a wealth of knowledge with those details and others like we talked about with Universal Design and really being in the know. And being part of seven recessions, hey, you don't have enough time to make all the mistakes yourself. Listen through Robert and other people like that.
No, absolutely. And he's got his finger on the pulse of everything that's not only historic but currently active, and all the changes in the marketplace from the standpoint of what consumers are looking for, as well as products and that kind of thing. I mean, you think about the healthy home environment, invisible disabilities, all of these kinds of things that, as he's describing it, you've heard tidbits here and there. And certainly Robert's the kind of guy that can bring everything together as a resource. And the consulting that he does is pretty, you know, far-reaching, but you can see his breadth of experience, expertise, and unbelievable passion, like you described. I mean, here's a guy who's been doing this for 45 years. And like you mentioned, Devin, I mean, it sounds like he's still a kid in a candy store, you know, having so much fun at the newest and greatest things that he sees out there. So,
yeah, and that's what I truly love about the Art of Construction. It's just an honor to be the host and have people like this in the Studio AOC. And to put a bow tie on it, like Robert August always wears a bow tie. And, you know, you only get one chance to make a first impression. And he definitely knows how to do that with his smile, his capabilities, and his wealth and knowledge. That's what I hope the Art of Construction can do for you globally, listening to this all over, and really get a lot out of this to help grow your business and create a lot of smiles and protect yourself along the way.
No, absolutely. And this is a show that you're definitely going to have to go back to the show notes page because of the mass amount of information that Robert shared. We'll have, you know, key notes, links, and contact information for some of the resources that he described. So as you've listened to the show now, we'll go to the show notes page and check it out, because there's going to be a lot of good information there for you to follow up on. So,
and if you want more, let us know. We'll get you more. This show is for you, contractors and architects, to grow your business. Thanks for listening.